The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2022, Living Liberation, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, you can visit libraplanet.org/conference.
So I stopped. Hi. Hello.
Hello to all of you who are joining us. It is a pleasure for me to welcome you here in the Jupiter room. I'm Adrian, and I will be monitoring this session. You can find me in the Libra Planet room Jupiter, ISU channel, as Neox. Since I'll be monitoring the question and answer time, feel free to mention my name to ask questions at any time. I'll do my best to get them. This talk is titled Replicant, Struggle for Independence, and will be presented by Dennis Carrickley. Dennis is one of the founders and developers of Replicant. He is also the former developer of SHR, a GNU/Linux distribution for smartphones. It's up to you, Dennis.
Hi. So, I just remark, I was not the only person in SHR. So, we will do some introduction on what is a smartphone, what is Replicant. And why caring about the smartphone and also the Android architecture. Then we will look at what we achieved, like our past success, failures, and so on. And we will look at what we are doing now or working on now. So, and of course, we will also try to have time for question and answers. So why do we have smartphones? For some people, it's to be reachable because of social pressure. For other people, they don't have a reliable banking system, so they use it for mobile banking. Other people for mobile computing. For some people, it's their only computer. So there is some reasons for using them. And maybe you have other use case as well, like mobile computing, or I don't know. The issue with smartphone is that it destroys the planet. There is usually bad work condition for making them. The network also know your location, and all of them run some non-free software, some more than other, and it's because of all of that, it's also unclear if it's empower people or not. For instance, there are cameras on it, so you can, for instance, do things that you couldn't before, but if it runs a lot of non-free software, it also spies on you and so on. So it's really not clear. So one of the solution would be not to use any smartphone, so we don't have to fix the issue. However, that doesn't really work. There are at least 2.7 billion people using it, including political activists, journalists, and even indigenous people that use it for their security, they run their own infrastructure with mostly free software, the the antenna, the GSM tower, and so on. And so they use it like to call the doctor, to organize against like people destroying the forest, and so on. So there is some really good use of it. And it's complicated because at the same time that you have good use, it's also, as I said before, destroy the planet. And the cell phone provider know your location, the location of the smartphone all the time because the smartphone is connected to the tower. And it also runs non-free software. So how do, like, if we really don't want smartphone, how do we fix that? Like, if we want to destroy the civilization to save the planet and so on, maybe people doing that still need smartphones, like, to organize. And if you want, like, to destroy factories to prevent smartphones, that doesn't work without the support of people. So, like, if people really need smartphone, they won't let that happen. So, yeah, that also doesn't work. So the way to fix it, to fix this issue is, a way that could work is free software. Like, the software that is on the smartphone, we need to, like, re-implement the non-free parts to have, like, fully free software. And that's what we will talk about in this talk, basically. So there are also other ways to help than having people work on that. Like, it was also mentioned in this conference, the right to repair is super important because not only it makes the device last longer and do less damage to the planet, but we also have a lot of information on it, like schematics and so on, which are really important to understand, like the privacy trade-off being made and so on, and also organize against, like, DRM is also useful because there is some correlation between not being able to, like, run fully free software on the main CPU, and we will look at that a little bit later, and DRM. And we also need, like, to make pressure to have the right to install our own operating system if possible. So, of course, like, people working on it are not alone. For instance, we have in Replicant, people working on porting Replicant to more recent version, like me and two other people, are being funded by NLNet. So without that, it wouldn't be possible. And also, ideally, we need also to connect with other struggles that have similar goals, like anti-planned obsolescence, environmental movement, and et cetera, instead of like stepping on each other's toes. Yeah, this way, we will be like more powerful to fix things for real. So now, if we want to fix things, we need to know what to fix. So, a good proposition would be to have like 100% free software on the main CPU, the CPU running like Replicant or Linux, 100% free software distribution that are usable by people, because else it will be less useful. Like, it would be easy to use, the hardware would be relatively easy to find, and it would be like not so expensive to get it, else like it would limit the number of people that want to use it, but it would make like a lot of people would may want to use it but can't. And also, we want to limit the damage about privacy and the environment by making like the hardware last longer. So the way to achieve that, of course, is like to work on it, like replace non-free software by free software. And we also need like not to ship non-free firmware, and also try to collaborate as much as possible with other projects to really have more impact. So if we look at right now, like if we want to use like fully free software distribution, there are not a lot that could work on smartphones. For instance, we have a Replicant 6. It supports like 10 devices. But like Wi-Fi doesn't work because it would require non-free firmwares and like internal Wi-Fi, I mean. So we can add like external Wi-Fi, and it only supports device with 3G. So in some area of the world, it's not usable anymore. Like you can call, but you don't have any data, for instance. And it's also not sustainable because Android 6 is really old and there's like security issue and so on. So like Replicant 11 is not ready yet. We are still working on it. And we also have like PureOS, which works. It supports the Librem 5 well. So, and the other like fully free FSF endorsed distribution, like are missing some package like bootloaders or graphical interface and so on to support phones. So like in theory, they can run on some phones, but yeah, it's not really usable yet. So we need like packaging mostly. So in parallel, there are also people like working on like GNU Linux part, like making software like Posh. It's a phone shell for GNOME or like indigenous people and like Osmocom communities working on reappropriating like the GSM networks, having free software to be able to run your own and so on. But this also only works because like indigenous people have like agreements with the various governments where they have the right to run, to use their own frequency. And like, for instance, I live in France and we don't. Like, you have to buy spectrum in auctions. So it's not really doable. So we have like Wi-Fi, to avoid this, like network location issue. But like, we really lag behind. Like, we don't even have like, free firmwares, and I'm not sure if we have the infrastructure like to enable to move between Wi-Fi access point in a town or not. So, and there are like power management issue also. So Replicant is a fully free Android distribution approved by the FSF. The issue is that the hardware it runs on like still has non-free software on it, like the boot software, but we'll see that later. So it exists since September 2009. We have mainly two versions, Replicant 6, which works, and we did a release not so long ago. The issue is that like Android 6, the last security update is from October 2017, so it's really old, and we support 10 devices, and it is based on Lineage OS. And Replicant 11 is a work in progress, and it's now based on official Android source code. And it varies, but there is more or less like nowadays one full-time contributors equivalent, and yeah, some help sometimes. So this is the device we support. It's, I think there is like two more tablets, but unfortunately, like there was some issue with the slides. So it's, some Samsung smartphones basically. And, like, depending on how you count, three or six tablets model. So it's really a best effort project. Like, Replicant itself is fully free. And we make sure like the basics works, like being able to call and so on. But for instance, like, I don't know if the camera doesn't work on a device or GPS doesn't work. Like we can make release with that. It's not the end of the world. And maybe later we can make it work. So to officially support a device, it needs to really have basic things. And of course, to be, like have Replicant being fully free. Replicant is not only like supporting devices. We also like have extensive documentation on like the freedom, privacy, and security issue of smartphones. So on the main website, replicant.us, we have a link to that, and people can contribute also to that. We have lots of documentation on the wiki, so really lots of documentation, but it's not well organized yet. And we also maintain part of our infrastructure, like we have a virtual machine at the FSF. And we also have like some infrastructure that's run by OSU. OSL is Oregon University, where students, in order to learn, help like free software, help run free software infrastructure for projects. And we also have a Mastodon account. So now, what is a smartphone? So this is a Galaxy S3. I'm not sure. Do you see a red dot? Yes. So this is the system on a chip. So it's a chip with many things inside. Like you have a GPU, you have a display controller, you have the processor running like Replicant or Android. Or GNU Linux, you have like a SD card controller and so on, but not all chips, not all function is inside. For instance, I think this is the Wi-Fi chip, but I'm not entirely sure. And here on this phone, we have a modem. So that's another chip that is connected to the like cell phone antennas and so on. Like this is called the BTS. Based transceiver station in technical terms. So this runs its own operating system and so on, and it has access to the SIM card. And in our case, fortunately, it's connected to the main processor, the main system on the chip, through something that looks like a USB. So it's not quite USB, but because you don't need like USB cables and so on, you just have a trace on the PCB, so you don't need all the circuitry to like transmit for long distance. So it's a like subset of USB. So the issue with that modem is that it only runs non-free software. Like there is a free software project for some very old modem, but it doesn't work for Replicant because the device like are too old basically, and most of them are not even smartphones, so you can't run Linux because like you have at maximum like 2 megs of RAM. So yeah, so what we do is we try to select a device with isolated modem. So like I shown before, it's the modem is on a separate chip, and it can't really take control of the Android system or like GNU Linux system, because here, even if it's a subset of USB, it can't become a keyboard, for instance, and type commands and so on. Because when it boots, Replicants load the firmware and give it access to its data through like something that looks like a network protocol, and so if it's already a modem, it can say after, "Hey, I'm a keyboard," for instance. So we really look for, like for device with isolated modem. So even if it's non-free software, it like limits what it could do like to attack users. But still, that doesn't prevent like tracking, because if you're connected to the network and you need that to be able to call or to receive a call or to send or receive SMS, again, the networks know your location. So. But we still have like scripts to disable that, thanks to people that worked on it. So we just disable the modem and then we are not reachable anymore. Or another solution would be like to become indigenous and run our own networks. But yeah, it's maybe not possible for everyone. Another solution also for people that really don't want modem is to use like tablets without modem. So that's also possible. And we can also disable the modems with the script I talked about before. So with Wi-Fi is also an issue, like because we don't have free firmware for any of the chips used on mobile device like tablet or smartphones. So the solution, the short-term solution is to use like USB dongle that work with free software. So they consume a lot of power, but like we integrated them in a replicant, so it works. And in the long run, like we would need help for having people reverse engineer Wi-Fi firmware. So there are like two approaches that looks interesting. One is with Broadcom chips, where there's a project that's called Nexmon that wants to add more features to Broadcom Wi-Fi firmware because there's built-in ROM, so it's a patch on top of that. And another is that like Realtek published some of its firmware under the GPL, but didn't give source code. So if we reverse engineer that, like we decompile, we might get some free firmware out of it. So yeah, this would be make things a lot easier for all mobile devices if we have free Wi-Fi. So the other issue we have, it's like on the device we support currently, like none of them boot with free software. So in the system on a chip, here you have like some code that's built in that boots, that will load a bootloader from like a micro SD or internal storage. And unfortunately, like it's verified the signatures. And also there is like, another OS that has more hardware access than GNU Linux or Android that's loaded in parallel on some of the devices we support, like the Galaxy S3. So yeah, and the bootloader also have like they have like lots of issues. It makes like the port to replicant 11 harder because it's incompatible with Linux. So we have to add patch that Linux can't accept because there is a protocol and the vendor didn't respect that. So yeah, it's messy. So I will explain also Android architecture a bit. So it's made to be able to like ship phone fast, because like if the phone is go on the market, for instance, after Christmas, the vendor will lose a lot of money. Ideally, it has to go on the market before so people can buy it, or they have to make a new one after. But then, yeah. So basically, at the beginning, you could have like a modified Linux kernel, like you could like break all programming interface, like have a different sound system that's incompatible with the GNU Linux one. And then inside Android, there are libraries that interface with the Android framework that will make the abstraction. Like, I don't know, it would abstract away the strange audio, strange kernel audio driver. And then application, when you have an Android application that use audio, like audio player, it talks to the Android framework, which talks to these libraries. So basically it works. And if you look at like GNU Linux smartphones, this is the N900. They started to have like hardware acceleration for like resizing picture and so on, and like to have a better camera, a better image, that use less processors and so on. That took really years to add it in the upstream kernel because people had to make a new subsystem, so it's also vendor won't like wait years before shipping a device. So yeah, that explains also the architecture. Yeah, that's what I said. So this is a bit like how Android is made. So you have the official Android by Google. That's mostly free software. And like vendor like Samsung can take it. And since it's not copyleft, they can like make their own version and not give away source code. And they usually like use non-free Google Play also. And it's also the same sources that are used by LineageOS and which Replicant 6 is based on. And for Replicant 11, we directly use that. So, and for Linux kernel, also there is a lot of misunderstanding because like laptops, for instance, they just work with GNU Linux. But in the case of smartphone, like older device especially, they used like a device specific kernel that only works on one smartphone or very few. So this is what makes it messy, because people like need to take this code and upstream it. So things become less device specific and it became an issue for updating devices. So Google also is working on making sure that manufacturers don't have too much modification and getting closer to upstream kernel, basically, to official kernel. Even if like the manufacturer and like give us bad quality code is still really really good because we can use that like to rewrite it or like make driver out of it because it's free software and we can't when it's non-free. So now why did we like create Replicant? Like when it was created, it didn't GNU Linux didn't work well. We like device lacked keyboard. We have like huge finger and like mice with desktop and laptop can click on very precise things. So basically you need to adapt all the application to make it work well. So yeah, and the issue with Android, it's like it's not meant for freedom. It's not meant to empower users. And there is also a huge unknown code for Google, and like it's harder to work with than GNU Linux also. But yeah, at least it works. So maybe I will skip that because I'm a bit out of time. It was just to say that there is like GNU Linux attempt to run on smartphone is not new. There is a long history. And so that's what I said. Because of all of that, we created a Replicant basically. At the beginning, we managed to create a 100% free software Android distribution. We support a device. It's usable. There is very low maintenance because we were based on LineageOS or official Android and we didn't really have a lot of work to do, just replace some non-free libraries that talk to the hardware. And we had free software application and even GPS and underwear keyboard, but yeah. So that looked really good. We still had issue with firmwares and so on, but yeah. And if we looked at GNU Linux at the time, you spent 1 year to have something that was not really working for the same device. Because of this modified kernel, basically. The issue is that the bootloader were already non-free and we found out that on the first device we supported with a Qualcomm system on a chip, the modem controlled everything, booting, RAM initialization, had access to the microphone, to the GPS and so on. So yeah, maybe we wouldn't have created Replicant if we knew, but yeah. So because of that, Paul Kosielkowski ported Replicant on a Samsung device. So it had a mostly known modem protocol, but with long work, he managed to make it work, basically. But unfortunately, we end up in the same issue. We found again that the modem could take control of the main processor because it had access to its RAM. So, yeah. But the advantage is that since the modem protocol was implemented, the fix was only to support other devices like the Galaxy Nexus that didn't have this issue. So with that, we managed to support a lot more devices, like about 10 devices. And at the end, we got isolated modem, so this is good. It was usable. We had very low maintenance because Lineage OS was doing all the work for us. And it was relatively easy to add new device. And yeah, GPS didn't work and no keyboard, but yeah. More seriously, we had like still non-free bootloader and another OS running in parallel in TrustZone that the bootloader loads, and also non-free firmwares for Wi-Fi. So we didn't have Wi-Fi. So we tried to port like Replicant to smartphone with meant for GNU Linux that run free bootloaders. So we tried with the GTA04. It's the smartphone on the picture. And so, like it looks really good and so on. The issue is that we didn't manage to make it work. Like Replicant 4.2, that's based on Android 5.2. We got limited support, and Replicant 6. We didn't manage to make resume, suspend and resume work. Like, if you press on the power button, the main CPU goes to sleep completely. And when you have a call from the modem is awake and will notify, the main processor that will go out of sleep. And Android also had a different, way of handling power management than GNU Linux because, like if you don't have any programs that keep the CPU running, it simply goes to sleep. Like if you play music, the music player will tell don't go to sleep, but if you have nothing, it just goes to sleep to save power. So Paul also tried with the Optimus Black. So it's another device, so it had a Android kernel and so on, and a free software bootloader. So it looks easier, but the display was the display interface was like completely different. You had the application, the system, it didn't work in a way that people were used to. So he tried to upstream the code, but it took a really long time and it was not finished. And if you want to look at all the details, it's on his blog. And yeah, it's really complicated stuff. So. So now, because of that, we went back to, sorry, I have to look my timer. Because of that, we went back to supporting some kind of Samsung phone again. But the issue is that nowadays, Lineage OS stopped support for all the devices we support. None of the smartphones currently supported in Lineage OS are interesting because the modem are not isolated. And also, we also do care a lot about removable batteries for privacy, but also for maintenance purpose, because we need to be able to support device for a long time. And like if people buy, even for users, like if they buy device and the second hand, like if the battery is not replaceable, it's like it's a mess. Like they won't get enough battery life. So yeah. And also 3G networks are being shut down around the world. So that's not a good news. But the good news is that we have two new interesting devices and maybe three. I didn't look at the newest PinePhone, but basically we have the first PinePhone. It's cheap, so people can get it. It has a free bootloader, so that's good. Documented hardware. The issue is that it's not a consumer device. So basically, it's very cheap. That is good, but developers have to help making it work. So, for instance, the power management is not optimized enough. And also, if we like support that directly, we basically lose all our users because, most users already have like Galaxy S3 and so on. So we still need to support that. And there is also the Librem 5, that's a consumer product with good battery life and so on, but it's not cheap. So not many people can buy one. But the good thing is that they also contribute like to GNU Linux on smartphones. So we thought that it was a good idea to support the Galaxy S3 with an upstream kernel. So we did that with some funding from NLNet. Otherwise, it would be impossible. And also by our funding, because you also need to like complete. Basically, you're paid when you do task, which is really great because it's super simple for everybody. But if you're late, you're paid late, basically, and the same amount. So we were also able to do it because we have good Linux support. Like people took the patches from the vendor and tried to upstream them. And there was also a modem driver that was available, but we didn't know if it really works. Available for upstream kernel, it was not merged, but yeah. So I've finally managed to make that driver work because it didn't really work, and I managed to make it work basically accidentally. So now I have to clean up the code and so on. So that's still being worked on. And we also managed to port, it was originally based on Replicant 9, and we migrated to Replicant 10, Android 10 and Android 11 now. And we even have 3D acceleration now. This is part of the work on Replicant, but we also needed to make Replicant 6 release because the last release had too many issues. Between the last release and now, non-free software was found, released Java code and firmware, so it's really problematic stuff. There was even some data leaks, when you called someone, it sent the phone number to some online services to know from which country the people that call you or that you call are. Their number is, sorry. We also had to remove F-Droid. We tried because it was not compliant with free system distribution guidelines. It's guidelines by GNU or the FSF for FSF endorsed distribution. And we tried to fix upstream, but it took too long. So we finally removed F-Droid. And also we fixed some very important bugs. Some SIM were not recognized. Thanks to Belgin, who fixed the bugs, and we have improvement, the script I talked before, more compatibility with application because we had limited OpenGL compatibility because we didn't have 3D acceleration, and we still don't on Replicant 6, but yeah, at least it's more compatible. And we have better installation instruction, and we need help because even if the latest release, we have the images, we, Wolfgang, the previous. I'm almost done. We need help for instruction to migrate from the previous release to this one because all the code is done, but and after that we can announce the release. And we also working more and more on automatic tests. And we also have work to migrate to MediaWiki and to maintain the infrastructure. And I think that's mostly it. Yeah, we have also, we do a lot of, we try to collaborate with other projects. And now I will take questions.
Yes, you have no time to take questions orally today, so you can do it on the IRC channel. I will recap all the questions that I saw in my field.
So I'm still on the video stream.
You can take some first questions. For example, the first, considering that 3J is disappearing in many locations depending on carriers, will applicants have to evolve at the risk of not being usable without Wi-Fi?
No, this is not the current plan. The current plan is to support the Galaxy S3. And since the work is done to support it with an upstream kernel, the difference with, for instance, a PinePhone will be less important. So we hope to be able to reuse most of the work. Basically, the only difference is that we will have to make the modem work of the PinePhone because the modem is different, but all the rest should be mostly the same.
Yes, okay, thanks. Does the recent progress on free firmware for the PinePhone's modem help replicant in any way?
I'm not sure. Basically, the PinePhone modem is like a full smartphone in a modem package. So it's like a Qualcomm, the Qualcomm device we supported at the beginning of Replicant. So inside you have non-free modem firmware and GNU Linux, which then interact with the PinePhone system on the chip that also run GNU Linux. So I don't know. But we definitely need to support it at some point in Replicant.
Okay. Do you have a good estimation for when Replicant 11 will be available or not?
Not yet, unfortunately.
There was a question from our stream manager, Tom Zane. I know Dennis does a lot of research on chip freedom beyond mobile. Are there any laptop that might be fully free to replace the old ThinkPads in the next few years?
Yes, there are now some laptops, mostly ARM-based laptops with a free bootloader. The issue is to start using them and start finding what doesn't work. For instance, I use the Tor browser, and it's not ported to ARM on GNU Linux. And basically, you need to use them to find what's not working and so on. So the Triskel, it could run on some laptops now, for instance, potentially at least. So yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I do not have any more questions. So we might call this a good talk. And thank you very much. Yes.
Thanks.
And see you another time, perhaps.
See you.
Bye-bye.